We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, here's your host, Malcolm Butler.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Tech Football here at the Doghouse Sports Grill on 102 North Homer Street in Ruston. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz. And we'll talk Bulldog football, take a look back at the game on Saturday up in Norfolk, Virginia. We'll take a look forward to the Bulldogs Road Contest this coming Saturday in Birmingham. We'll also be joined by Louisiana Tech VP and Director of Athletics Eric Wood for a segment. So that's what this show will entail. And Skip Holtz, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's always good to be here. I appreciate everybody coming out to the Doghouse again tonight. Incredible support that the Bulldogs have here. So really appreciate everybody coming out. But, you know, it's frustrating being here tonight with the way that the game played out Saturday, for sure. I mean, I certainly understand everybody's frustration, and I'm not talking about everybody outside the organization. I'm talking about, you know, players, coaches, everybody. It was a hard locker room to be in. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of tears, a lot of emotion, and these players, they keep believing. They keep going out there. They keep fighting their tails off. We've just got to be able to make a couple more plays in some of these tight football games to give ourselves a chance to win. But I thought we did a much better job in this game of not giving the game away like we did 2 weeks ago, like we talked here at UTSA with the turnovers that we gave up, the six sacks, I mean, some of the mistakes that we made to try and give the game away. But it was an exciting football game if you didn't care who won. Unfortunately, I had a dog in the fight. So, I mean, it was a little bit more frustrating for me or anybody else that had the opportunity to watch it that's a Bulldog fan with us coming up on the losing end again on the last play of the game with a field goal.
You know, Teddy and I were talking probably off the air, and we might have even brought it up on the air in a pregame show. But, you know, I know from a coaching perspective, a lot of times coaches don't want to think that last week's game could necessarily affect the next week's game and so forth. You want to put it behind you, right? That's what the mindset's always supposed to be. But we talked about how the fact when you lose three games like Louisiana Tech did in those first five, it all came down to the last play.
Exactly.
And you know how close you are to being 4-1 or 5-0.
Yep.
It does have an effect on you. And I felt like personally that maybe that's kind of what we saw against UTEP and UTSA and even Old Dominion, that it's just a matter of you were that close, you know how good you can be, and it just starts to have an effect on you.
No, it does, and we've said it on this show before. I mean, winning is contagious. Unfortunately, so is losing, and it's kind of some of the tough things when you play a schedule like we did preseason. I mean, and you compete, you're underdog, you're 20-point underdogs in three of your games, and you go out there and you compete your tail off and you lose. Every one of them creates a little seed of doubt, and I'm certainly not blaming that. We do everything we can to try and eliminate the last game, but for an 18 to 22-year-old, it's frustrating. It's hard. It's kind of like your girlfriend cheats on you, you know, five times in a row. Do you still trust her, you know, the sixth time? You know, it's at some point you start to say, wait a minute now, what's going on here? I mean, and so I think it's frustrating, but I'm telling you, we've got great leadership on this football team. And I look at the guys in that locker room, the way they played, the way the heart and soul that they put into it, the dejection that they had, the amount of tears that are shed in the locker room for guys that put it all out on the line and they want to win, and they're frustrated. I think coaches are, players are, I know fans are. I mean, everybody is watching it, because the thing that's sad is that if this football team was just really bad, I mean, I think we could all deal with this. But I think this football team has a chance to be really good, as I think they have proven time and time again. We've just got to be able to finish some of these games. And it's certainly starting to wear on everybody, but we got to keep rolling up our sleeves. There's nobody's talking about quitting. One of the questions afterwards, where's this football team go from here? When we go to the next week, we've got UAB this week. This is game number... What is this?
Going to be game number nine.
Game number nine. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be game number nine. We've still got four games on the schedule. When you start to look at, you've got UAB, you've got Charlotte, you've got Southern Miss, and you have Rice. So you still have four games on the schedule. When you put a football team together, I know we've said it on this radio show as well, a football team has a life expectancy of 1 year. And, you know, this football team has nine more games to go. And I know the bonds that are on this team. I know the commitment to each other. I know how they feel about each other. And there's no doubt in my mind this football team won't quit. They're going to continue to battle, and they're going to continue to compete. And we still got four games to try and get it straight and hopefully put something together to really see what the 2021 Bulldogs are all about, and to see that if we can find a way to get back and find a way to win some of these games going down the stretch.
And you mentioned the emotions in the locker room. Obviously, I'm not in the locker room after the game is over, but Saturday when the kick went through the uprights, I saw two or three players take their helmets down and throw them down on the ground. I mean, you could see the emotion of the fourth time this year that the last play of the game went against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I saw frustration. I saw anger. I saw guys that just collapsed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Guys that didn't throw anything. They just went to a knee like, are you kidding me again? And, you know, and I was talking about somebody else. Our field goal kickers are 10 of 11 against us. You know, our opponents that we don't have anything to do with. They're 10 of which the leading percentage in Conference USA is 89%. Well, that's 91%. So our opponents are kicking better than anybody else in our league. You know, it's the same kicker that missed an extra point against Buffalo to put it into overtime. He missed a kick against Marshall to win the football game. And he makes ours. I mean, that's kind of the way this season has gone so far. But we had our opportunities during the course of this game. I know we'll talk about the call I made on fourth down. I mean, I know we'll bring that up, but as everybody wants to talk about it, and I'm fine with it. But we had opportunities during the course of the game. We did play much cleaner. We didn't turn the ball over. Offense, defense, or special team, or offense and special teams didn't have a turnover. We created two, which we hadn't done in a couple weeks. We did a really good job in the with big plays. We had, you know, I say we did a good job. I think we had three big plays for about 171 yards, but held them to two. Held them to two big plays for about 70 yards. So I think we're doing some things better, but you feel like there's holes in the dam, and you keep putting your finger in them, and you just each and every week it seems like a new problem shows up. But I will say this too, they did a really nice job. They had just had an open date. They came off an open date. They had played about 10 snaps of 12 personnel and played about 75% in our game in it. So when we went into this game, we were expecting completely different personnel groupings and formations that we practiced all week, but yet they came out in something totally different. And the same thing defensively. They took advantage of their open date, and they made the most of it, and they made a lot of changes. It took us a little bit to get our feet on the ground, but I thought the players did a really good job with the adjustments.
Let's talk a little bit about injuries and where we are right now. Yep. Obviously, Austin Kendall left the game there with about, what, four and a half minutes. I can't remember exactly what the time was.
Correct.
But on that last drive where we scored the touchdown, he went out and did not come back. So I guess his status here on a Monday and then the status of both Bell brothers and then anybody else.
Okay, well, I think right now we don't know on Ben Bell. Ben Bell's an ankle. We don't know on him. We're just going to have to see how he responds to treatment all week. He will not practice tomorrow, I wouldn't imagine. He's pretty swollen in black and blue. But let's see what the end of the week shows and see how he responds to treatment. Levi Bell right now is a question mark. Really not sure on him as well with his knee. Kind of came back with it, feels like maybe a little bit too early, swole on him, still a little bit sore. Broderick Calhoun should be back this week. We're certainly hoping he'll be back. Baylen Buchanan went out of this game with a swelling in his knee. The corner didn't play in the fourth quarter with swelling in the knee. Same thing we're going to have to see. I mean, you come out of every game, and there's 8-10 guys that are questionable.
Sure.
For the next week. You just got to see how they're going to respond to treatment and how it's going to show up as we get later in the week. Miles Mason, the safety from Arkansas, will be out right now. He's still out. He's got a turf toe that he will be out with. He'll still be out. Expect Harlan Dixon to be back. Juwan Johnson has gotten the green light to start practicing, so we're going to see what he can do this week. So I'm excited to get Juwan back. Going into the season, our best two receivers going into it were Isaiah Graham and Juwan Johnson, you know, and Juwan Johnson hasn't played at all. But also the emergence of guys like Jared Mead, Sam Emulis, and Trey Harris have been a real blessing for us on the outside. Harlan Dixon should be back. And then with Austin Kendall, same thing. We're just going to have to kind of wait and see how his back plays out this week. So we don't have the positive news. We don't have a lot of guys that are just out, like season-ending injury, MCL, shoulder separations. We don't have a lot of that. We've got a lot of guys that are going to be a little bit limited this week that we're going to have to see how they're going to respond to treatment with everything. Byron Roussel is also a guy that went out, only got a chance to play about first half. Injured his shoulder, and so we're just kind of waiting to see how he's going to be as well. But I thought Dakota White went in and did a really nice job. I thought Dakota White went in and did a really nice job. And that offensive line, all five guys up front, we threw the ball 43 times in that game trying to get the ball in space to some of our playmakers. And I thought all five guys up front played really well. I believe we gave up one sack and 43 attempts, which they did a much better job protecting the passer than we did the week before.
That was going to be one of my questions. I agree. I thought the O-line-wise gave the quarterbacks an opportunity back there to make some plays.
For sure.
J.D. Head came in a difficult situation. You know, he came in on the 10-yard line, handed it off twice to Marcus Williams. Great run by Marcus Williams.
Great
on
run.
The touchdown.
Very patient.
Yeah.
Very patient, then bounced it. It wasn't really there up inside and did a really nice job of bouncing it. And then some guys did a really good job. Jaron Gilbert did a really nice job at the tight end, getting a key block at the point of attack that got us into the end zone.
Yeah, big-time run right there.
Yep.
Gave your team the lead. So let's talk about the fourth down. You get the ball back, tie ball game. You drive it to the 45-yard line. You got the fourth and three, 34, I think, seconds remaining in the ball game.
Yep.
You can either punt, obviously, try to pin them. You can try to go for it knowing that, hey, if I get a first down here, I'm the one kicking the game, potential game-winning field goal at
exactly.
the end of the game. Just talk through the process and the decision.
Well, I mean, we're sitting there. You've got your backup quarterback on the road. You're in a tie football game. I feel like punting it would have been playing not to lose. I felt like punting it to them at that point would have been saying, okay, let's go to overtime and let's make sure we don't screw it up. But we're on the 45-yard line. I know I have a reputation of being very conservative, which I normally will play the numbers. I will normally play the averages and say, punt it away and let's play in overtime. But right now we have a very fragile football team. I didn't feel like that was in our best interest with a backup quarterback to have to go play a couple series and make some throws down in the red zone. If they were to score first and he had some pressure on him in a couple third and longs, that really wasn't what I wanted. And so I felt like we have a chance to win the game right here. And we told our team that we were going to be aggressive. I ran a fake punt from midfield earlier in the game. I ran a fake punt to try and buy another possession. We went on and scored in that possession. That was the one we threw the post to Isaiah Graham a little bit later on that drive. But I just said we're going to be aggressive. I can't ask our players to show up every week and play, but let's just play not to lose. Let's go play to win. Let's go play to win. We've got some talent, and really, I mean, we gave JD had a couple options as inside receivers. We're running some underneath routes for the sticks. They showed man coverage, spied out, took away the inside routes, left him with a one-on-one matchup on the outside. I love the decision on his point. I wasn't thrilled about the throw. You know, it's fourth down, and you don't want to drop back and throw it to the 19th row and say, okay, y'all's ball. You know, I mean, at least give our guy a chance to catch it. They had had a number of pass interferences, and we had been waiting to try and get him in man-to-man coverage to give our outside receivers a one-on-one shot all day. And so it came up right then, and he laid it up. I just wish you would have given the guy an opportunity. I wish you would have given Bub Means an opportunity to make the catch. He made a – tried to make the perfect throw, kind of like he threw at the when he went into the SMU game. Was it the SMU?
North Texas game.
When he went into the North Texas game, tried to make the perfect throw, and it didn't need to be. Just lay it up in the air, throw it to a spot, give – we've got a 6'2 corner on a 5'8 – we have a 6'2 receiver on a 5'8 corner. You don't need to throw the ball out of bounds. You don't need to throw it away from the receiver. Just put the ball up. I think, unfortunately, it's a great learning experience for his future. But I would have loved to have been able to complete that ball. You're on the 5-yard line. You line up, you kick the field goal, and you win, and you go home. But I felt like just because you went for it didn't mean you lost.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like we were on our own 5 and they were in field goal range and we were going for it, and you go for it, it's an automatic loss. They still have to make about 30 yards in 20 seconds to be able to get in field goal range, A. B, they got to make the field goal, which they've missed two game winners already so far this year. And you've got an opportunity on the 45-yard line. I'll put it this way. Had we punted that ball and then we lost the game in overtime, I would have a real hard time if one of our players or fans came to me and said, Coach, why didn't we try and win it on fourth down? Well, because I just wanted to play for overtime. You know what I mean? I just wanted to see if we could keep it close. No, we tried to win, and that was what we went up there to do. We went to win, and like I said, we got a fragile team, and I didn't want to take them into overtime, and I felt like we got a chance to win it like right here. Let's take it. I didn't drop back and say, let's just throw the ball as far as we can on fourth down. There were underneath routes, but you don't know what their coverage is going to be or how they're going to try and defend you, and he had some options on zone or man. And actually, with the way they defended us, I thought he made the right read. He made the comment to me, and it's a true story. He said, you know what, Coach, I make that throw 9 out of 10 times. I said, I know, it's your favorite throw. That's why I called it. And you're really good at it. And that's why we gave that as one of your options for you. I agree you hit it 9 out of 10. I don't get excited that we got to see the 1 out of 10, you know, on game day in live work, you know, with very little time on the clock on fourth down.
No doubt about it. And I talked to you. I saw you out by the buses after the game was over, and I'd gotten off the air. And it didn't come down to that last 34 seconds. I mean, it did ultimately. But yep, there were opportunities in that game. We had so many good starting positions on the field, whether it's because of turnovers, a kick return, whatever it may be, and just too many of them were empty.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And you look at it, our defense got some stops backed up. Our punting team, I thought they did a phenomenal job, the punt team. I mean, we pinned them on the 1, the 6, and the 10. All three of them, we held them down there. They punted. We got the ball at that end of the field. Solomon Lewis for the freshman, how exciting is he going to be for the next 4 years, 5 years to watch with this being a redshirt year for him, to see what he did on the 60-yard return that put us on the 39-yard line. But we came out of those possessions with – empty way too many times. And the biggest thing, I think, offensively is just a lack of consistency. I mean, you run the ball and the tackle doesn't block the 5 technique, so he's free, no gain. You throw the ball, guard gets beat, quarterback has to scramble out and throw the ball away. You know, third down, you throw the ball and you make a poor read. You're like, dang it, all right, punt. We're not as consistent as we need to be as an offense, and it's frustrating because I don't think we do a lot of things well. We don't do anything great. You know what I mean? And that's really the MO of this football team, which is why we threw, I think we had 26 completions in this game. The whole mindset was to get the ball in space and give our players an opportunity to make somebody miss. I don't think we made very many people miss in this game. There weren't a lot of big play touchdowns. The only passing touchdown was the deep ball, you know, that we threw the ball into the end zone. And they were trying to do some different things coverage-wise, and we caught them, and that's why it left Isaiah Graham all alone in the end zone. But that's the frustration right now. A lot of good players on this team. We do a lot of things well, but we're not near as consistent as we need to be in the run game. We're not near as consistent as we need to be protecting the passer. We're not as consistent as we need to be reading coverages and putting the ball where it belongs. The one thing I would say that we are doing really well right now is we're catching the ball. I think the one thing that we don't have is a lot of drops. You know, we had a couple of them a week ago, but when you look at the course of the season, I think those guys in Trey Harris, Isaiah Graham, Sam Emulis, Jared Means, Smoke Harris, Griffin Hebert, even the running backs out of the backfield are doing a really good job of catching the ball. If we can make somebody miss once we catch it and getting that ball in space, we got a chance to create some big plays and flip a field position, but we weren't able to do it Saturday night.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Bulldog defense and their performance on Saturday night. We'll be right back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers 4 nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Directors Cup. The premier award recognizes one winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
We're back with more of Inside Bulldog Football here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. And
that was playing dead space,
wasn't it? It was, definitely. So before we talk defense, and we're going to talk defense, the Bulldogs were really good. You mentioned it, and I'm not going to let you get by that easily. So last Monday, I made the comment to you on the air that I felt like you were a very conservative special teams coach. And I even talked to Teddy Allen after the show was over. I said, I think Skip got a little irritated with me with his answer. I said, but in 10 years, I promise you, I said, I don't think I've ever seen him run a fake punt or a fake field goal. So that's why I would say that.
Right.
And sure enough, the game after I bring this up on the air, What do the Bulldogs and Skip Holtz do? They run a fake punt for 27 yards, and I'm going to take all the credit for that one.
Well, I think you should take all the credit. It was all your doing that made – I was on the sideline saying, you know what, they think I'm conservative. You know what, I'm going to go for this.
I looked down to see if you were staring up at me from down there when you ran it. It was very well done, and who would have thought Joseph Mason at halftime would be our leading rusher, but 27 yards rushing on that play.
Yes, he did. Well, I mean, that was even – I put the team out there because we were going to go for
right.
it. And I didn't like the look. And we have a signal like kill, like don't run the play. Let's just hard count them and see if we can get them to jump off sides. When they jump off sides, which happened
– They did.
The guy jumped off sides right in front of Josh Moat. And what you teach your line is as soon as they get into the neutral zone, your lineman is supposed to reach out and touch them. That forces the official to throw the flag, offsides on them, and you take it. But they jumped, and I don't know, I guess Josh was taking a short nap during that time and didn't see him get in the neutral zone, so he didn't move with them. And so we called the timeout, and then I told Dennis, I said, we carry a fake punt every week. It's just got to be the right situation. You got to make sure they're doing what they want to do, because I don't think there's anything worse to take momentum away and put your defense out there on a short field than a fake punt or a fake field goal that's unsuccessful. And so you never want to take points off a board on a field goal if you have an opportunity to kick it. But in this case, I felt like we needed a score. Felt like we needed a score. Thought the offense did a really nice job in the final. We scored 10 points in the final 2 minutes, which is why we came out in the second half with more of a hurry-up mindset. I felt like when we went to a two-minute drill, we got a sense of urgency about us. I mean, all of a sudden we picked up. Things started rolling. We went right down the field, scored a touchdown, came back. They ran the kickoff back. We got the ball, went all the way down the field again, and then got down to about the 15-yard line and ran out of time. So we had to kick the field goal down there. But I thought we had much more sense of urgency. But, yeah, the fake field goal is something we've been practicing for about 6 weeks. Just the right opportunity had to present itself, and it certainly did. And the players did a great job of executing it. And Joe Mason did a nice job. The players are giving him a hard time for not having much of an open field move because the returner came out. And if it would have had a spear in front of his helmet, it would have killed him. You know, I mean, would have went through his sternum. But I thought he did a really nice job of executing. The whole team did a really nice job. And I thought our special teams played really well. I mean, really, outside of the 100-yard kickoff, which kind of glaring, you give up 7 points in a 20-20 football game. But three pins inside the 10, executing a fake punt, averaging 45 yards a punt, having a return out past the 30 and a return all the way to their 39-yard line. Outside of the kickoff return, the kickoff team, I thought our special teams played very well.
I don't know what you call the fake punt, but I hope it's named after me because, again, I'm going to take credit on that one. All right, let's talk a little defense. I thought we played extremely well. You mentioned one touchdown was because of the kick return.
Yeah, we gave up 16 points.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Merrily is what you did. You gave up 16 points as a defense on the day. Thought we played, I don't want to say great, but I thought we played exceptional for the first three quarters. I thought we played as good as we can play, especially with all the different changes that they gave us and with the 12 personnel. I thought up front, Kevie Rose, Deshaun Hall, Michael Clark, DJ Jackson, those guys continue to play well. All those linebackers right now. Cody Fulp did a great job, mm-hmm. got on the action, great interception. Great to have him back. Obviously, Trey Baldwin and Tyler Grubbs. I think that core linebackers is the best we've had since I've been here, without a doubt. I don't even think it's close. And I thought all those guys, Ezekiel Barnett played really well. B.J. Williamson continues to be just rock solid. Khalil Ladler played one of his better games, did a really nice job. And I thought Baylen Buchanan in the secondary played well. So we had some guys that really stepped up on defense, but they were like 3 of 12 on third down in the first three quarters. But in the fourth quarter, they were 5 of 8. And in the fourth quarter, we gave up a 20-play drive. When we went down and took the lead to make it 20-17, there was about 11 minutes to go in the game, and I told David then, if we can hold on here, I mean, they don't score, we win this game. And they went 20 plays and went the length of the field and were 5 of 8 on third down, and we just couldn't get off the field. We didn't give up any big plays. They made a number of third down conversions by 0.5 yard, and they went down the field and they kicked the field goal to tie it up. And then we're able to do the same thing again at the very end for the field goal. And I hate it. I mean, you look at it and say, you know what, you punt the ball away, you take away their opportunity, but then we don't have the opportunity to win the game. And so it was frustrating for a defense that I thought played really well. And really, I asked for one more stand out of them so we could have a chance to potentially convert on a deep ball there on fourth down, but we weren't able to get it done.
Yeah, that scoring drive that you mentioned, 20 plays, only 58 yards, so less than 3 yards a play,
yep,
and took 10 minutes off the clock,
exactly.
10 minutes and 2 seconds. I'm not sure I've ever seen a scoring drive that looks like that, but it resulted in the game-tying field goal. I'm going to tell you what, the big tight end for them, I'll tell you, he was a handful. Well, he's a big boy, and he is a really good tight end, runs really good routes.
Well, we talked about he had 9 catches the week before when they made this quarterback change with their new quarterback. He had 9 catches. The receiver had 13 catches the week before. We did a much better job on him. We held him. I believe he only had 4 catches in that game. But the tight end did a really nice job. He's a really good player. He's a big body guy. We really probably should have traveled Zeke with them. When you go back and look at it, when Zeke Barnett, a bigger outside linebacker, strong safety, was on him, did a great job with him and almost shut him down. I think he had 1 catch against Zeke, but when he got an opportunity to get locked up with some of our smaller safeties, he did a really nice job. And probably something in hindsight, we look back and probably should have put a personnel matchup where we traveled Zeke with him to the boundary or to the field. But I thought he was a really good player and he did a nice job.
No doubt about it. You mentioned your linebacking core. Trey Baldwin, 11 tackles. Tyler Grubbs, 11 tackles. Barnett, 6 tackles. Those guys just continue to do a job. They're always around the football.
Yeah, Cody Fulp had the interception.
Yep.
He did a really nice job. Mackie Carabin's playing well on our special teams and on defense. And Alan Walker is a young guy, just a redshirt freshman right now, that he's starting in our nickel package, and he is getting better and better. And so I think we've got 5 linebackers right there, with the only one being a senior, being Trey Baldwin. But all those guys are being very active right now. Certainly a game for linebackers, as they ran so much inside zone on us and what they were trying to do. But I thought the front seven played, I thought, really a really good football game.
You know, it was a pretty clean football game when it comes to penalty flags. Louisiana Tech only 4 penalties. Old Dominion only 3. But when Teddy and I were talking through them in that second half, it seemed like every time we would have one of those 4 penalties, it was really momentum changing. I mean, the first one came when Austin Kendall was scrambling around, did a really nice job avoiding a couple rushers, 25-yard pass to Griffin Abraham to the 15-yard line, but there's an illegal man downfield, and I'm sure it was an offensive lineman. I mean, he kept that play alive for a long time.
No, he did, and the offensive lineman had gone past the line, but then he came back. You know, when the ball was released, there was nobody down the field.
So should that be a penalty? Are you allowed to go down and to come back as long as you're back by the time I've never thought about that.
I don't think so. I mean, I certainly didn't think so on the sideline, that's
right,
for sure. I didn't think so. But, no, some of the penalties were timely, and they took away some big plays. I get frustrated because the kickoff return and the punt return, there are 2 blatant block in the backs. I mean, and those are – I don't know how you miss that at the point of attack. I get everybody's running down the field, and the one that happens 30 yards away, but when the guy catches the ball and there's 1 guy beelining down on him and he gets hit in the back, I don't know. If everybody in the stadium can see it, I think it's very disappointing to me that we can't get a flag on the field.
Well, and especially, and I asked you this off the air, you said don't get you started, but I'm going to get you started here, especially in the first half when Austin Kendall's back to pass and one of their linebackers or somebody comes by and slams him in the side of the helmet,
right,
as he's about to throw it, and then he's kind of off balance when he throws it, it's incomplete, happens right in front of the official, and there's no flag.
No. I mean, and the point of emphasis is we're going to protect our quarterbacks,
right,
and the point of emphasis is concussions, and you can't. We had a penalty called on us because the guy tried to block a pass, and when his arms came down, they landed on the quarterback's head, and that's a penalty. So, I mean, you know, I'm fine with it if you're going to call it against us, but I'd kind of like for it to be called Forest as well. I mean, you know, I think there's two teams on the field, and we've both got to call the, we got to call the game the same. And that's all any coach is looking for is consistency. That's what you want. You want for consistency and communication. If we can get that, I think all coaches will be happy with the game, the way a game is officiated.
No doubt about it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Louisiana Tech Director of Athletics, Eric Wood.
This is the only reason I came tonight. I want to hear him talk.
We're going to let you
go
eat.
The only reason I came.
We'll be back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to La Tech Sports from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
It's important to take care of yourself, and that's why the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs use Ruston Apothecary for their prescription needs. Hometown owner Heather Jewel Furr is passionate about our Bulldogs and their health. With a friendly staff and a convenient drive-thru, Ruston Apothecary will keep you in the game. Call today to get your prescription filled. 318-255-3223. Ruston Apothecary, a proud partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
Welcome back to Inside Bulldog Football. We're here at the Doghouse Sports Grill, and for this segment, joined by Louisiana Tech VP and Director of Athletics, Eric Wood. And Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Malcolm. Good to be with you again.
You just passed your one-year anniversary. I think your introductory press conference was October the 23rd
That's
of last
right.
year.
That's right.
So does that mean, you know, I know you've gone around saying, hey, this is my first year. I'm still – you're past your first year now, right? So you got to find a different line?
I do, and I would argue that there has not been any more tumultuous first year for an AD in this time. So,
well, we're breaking you in. There's no doubt about it. Yep. Well, we're talking today. We wanted you to come on here, and obviously the big subject right now across the landscape of college athletics is conference realignment.
Right.
It started when OU and Texas made the announcement they were going to the SEC, and that just started this domino effect. And, of course, Louisiana Tech finds itself involved in that as well. So just to try to come here and answer some questions, and there's a lot I know that we can't necessarily get into specifics about, but just to try to give the fans an opportunity to hear you, maybe just describe a little bit about what's gone on behind the scenes when it comes to Louisiana Tech during this trickle-down effect.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is for our fans to understand that, you know, you're not hearing from Dr. Geis or I because we're just sitting on our hands, you know, at our homes or in our offices, right? We just can't talk about a lot of it out front. We can't put it on social media, right? So we're working. We're using our networks. This is my 23rd year in the business. I guarantee you I've talked to just about every athletics director that is involved in one of these moves, okay, or at least in the leagues. Maybe not everyone in the league, but I've talked to athletic directors in each of the leagues where there's been an impact and a transition, right, just to stay ahead. I will tell you that outside of the American taking six and four of them from the Western Division, outside of that, there have been no surprises. We knew the AAC would move. We assumed two. We thought four. When they took six, that was a big surprise, right? But we just can't talk a lot about it, but we're working. We have been on the phones. We have been trying to stay ahead. None of the announcements have surprised us here with Marshall's, Southern Miss, and ODU. Even maybe the impending WKU and Middle Tennessee State. So we're working. We're having conversations. We just can't share a lot because we are still a member of Conference USA.
You know, I've had a lot of people come up and say, well, why didn't Louisiana Tech apply for the AAC? I saw where these six schools that they accepted applied. It didn't say Louisiana Tech applied. Explain that to folks.
Yeah, so, you know, that's good. I'm glad you asked that, too, because when you're reading that these schools have applied, by that point it's a formality. They've had the conversation. There's been an invitation extended to them already, and it's just a formal process at that point of applying. And so when you hear that, it's not that there was that the American posted an opening for six institutions and we just said, oh, we think we're good, right? Or that the Sun Belt, who we now saw, was really trying to bolster up their eastern side of their conference. You know, it's not like they posted one and we didn't apply, okay? We are members of Conference USA, but when you see that, that's just the formal process at this point.
Talk a little bit about what Louisiana Tech's focus is now, right? As far as leadership goes, when it comes to Dr. Geis and it comes to Eric Wood, during the process where we are today and moving forward.
I want to start with this, if I can. The main objective in all of this is to make sure Louisiana Tech's interests are protected, to do everything we can. So much of this realignment is out of our control. You have to be invited. You have to be invited. What we can do is, you know, and a lot of this is on social media, so I'm not breaking any news, but Middle Tennessee State and Western Kentucky are, you know, potentially receiving invites here from the MAC as their council of presidents or their board votes tonight. We're anticipating that's going to happen. And you know what? We may be down to the three core members. But the objective will be over the next week to 10 days is to go on offense. So many of the institutions that are interested in joining us had to wait to see who's left right before they jump in. And so once this gets cleared up and it's UTEP, FIU, and Louisiana Tech, we go on offense, and over the next 7 days we go ahead and add. The goal is to get back to eight. For those that might need that information, you have to have eight full members to be considered an FBS league. Okay, and then you have to have six members together for two consecutive years to keep your AQ, to keep your automatic qualifier status. So the goal right now is to get to eight, maybe nine, and take a breath. And then go, you know what? There's 11 schools that just left us at about $3.5 million each. There's about $40 million to play with. What do we want to do? Are we going to invest in the three schools would receive that money, or we'll use that to attract other members to come to our conference? So that's the game plan moving forward. But we can't say a whole lot on social media. We can't say this person's confirmed, these schools are being looked at. We're just working behind the scenes, and we need our fans and our alums to know that we are doing everything within our control to position Louisiana Tech moving forward.
And so you just mentioned it, the buyout, right? And so if Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee do go to the MAC, that's 11 schools at roughly somewhere between $3 and $4 million per school.
Correct.
So you're looking at upwards of $35 to $40 million,
right,
that will be coming back to Conference USA.
Right.
What could that money be utilized for?
Right. So the presidents will the presidents and the commissioner will decide how that money gets used. It could be that some of it remains with the league, or each of the three institutions can, you know, get upwards of $10 million if there's $30 million remaining. But we could also use it to be very strategic about our membership moving forward. So that's a good part. You know, if there's any, you know, silver lining here, is that you get an opportunity with these three core institutions to build this thing forward and be very aggressive with how it looks.
What is your thought process as far as the future of conference realignment? Because that's the thing. I don't think any of us think that this thing is going to settle over the next couple of weeks. You know, it might settle for a year, 2 years, whatever.
Right.
But I guess just talk a little bit about what you think the future is over the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah, you know, usually it's every, what, you know, 5, 8, maybe 8 to 10 years, there's some kind of realignment and somebody moves. Speaking of the MAC, they haven't realigned or expanded in the last 23 years.
Wow.
They've been together the same league since 1998. And so you just never know. But our goal is to play the long game, to not make some immediate decisions that just maybe look good or are really short-sighted, right? So it will happen again. I don't believe the Big 12 is done. I believe there are schools in the American that will continue to seek an opportunity. And so, you know, we won't discuss any other conference, but I do not think this is over. And Louisiana Tech needs to play the long game and make great decisions as members of Conference USA. And you know what? What we can be doing that doesn't impact other leagues is investing in ourselves. That's what we need to be doing. We need to increase our athletics budget. We need to have the facilities that attract the recruits and help our coaches get the best student athletes so that we can win. And so that's what we can be doing in the meantime and not sitting back just waiting for the next realignment to happen. We have to be in a position of strength, and we'll need everybody's help to make sure that Louisiana Tech is operating from a position of strength.
Well, and I think that, you know, Bode's talking a little bit more about it. I mean, athletically, Louisiana Tech since 2013, has spent over $100 million on facilities, whether right. it's the DAC, whether it's the press box and suites, baseball, softball, soccer, some right. other things. But you're not done, and that's the thing. You can never settle in this day and age right. of college athletics.
Right. You know, I played DB at one point, and I remember the wide receivers used to always say to me, if we're even, we're leaving, right? If you are with me, then I'm taking off, right? And so that's the deal. We can't sit back and wait for this stuff to happen. The DAC is now how old?
8 years.
8 years
yep.
old now,
yep.
right? We have to continue to invest. And make it happen, right? We need the, you know, it's the chicken or the egg. Some people say we'll win and we'll do this. And I, you know, my mindset is we need to invest, and so that we can be in position. So that's the indoor practice facility. That's the we need, you know, there's an academic center for our student athletes. So the $100 million, and just so, because I want our faculty on campus and staff to hear, those are private dollars, or it came from the FEMA money or state dollars. So these are private. These are not coming from university funds for the most part, right? While the DAC included some of that for our students, it's a heavily used facility for sorority, fraternity, SGA functions. There's intramurals taking part on our football field. In the evenings, and so we realize anything we do in that athletics village will be finding a way to make sure that students are incorporated.
You know, and again, we can't talk about specific schools that may be joining Conference USA or not, but I know there's some schools out there, obviously, who may not be FBS in football right now, some FCS schools. What is the time frame? Let's say you have an FCS school that decides to join Conference USA because they're going to move to FBS on the football right. level. What's the time frame? How quickly can a school do that?
So it's a two-year process to go from FCS to FBS. And so the idea would be that they would join us in fall of 23 after our league leadership vets that out. And we've had a number of FCS schools express interest, and there have been a few FBS schools, but there's just not as many out there that are independents or that are going to leave their current league right now. So, but it would take 2 years. As long as they're in our league by fall of 23, you have all of 23, 24, and 24, 25 for them to fully reclassify, be eligible for bowls, and count it as FBS opponents.
And then finally, can you give us some sort of timeline as far as when you think we'll start to see some announcements from Conference USA as far as membership?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, we are all waiting to hear what the MAC is doing. Again, having not expanded in 20-plus years, it appears imminent that they will for the first time in that many years with those two. It could be just Western. It could be just Middle. But assuming that both of them go, at that point, we realize that we're at this core three, and I would think in the next week to 10 days that our fans and really all of the fans of the three remaining institutions will see that we've gone on offense, and all the work we've been doing behind the scenes will then play out so we could get solidified at 8, 9, or 10.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show tonight and sharing some information with us. I know a lot of folks out there are curious about what's going on with conference realignment.
Right. Well, go for it. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. Just wanted to just shed some light on the process so that people just don't think we don't have a plan. We just can't put it all out on the table.
No doubt about it. When we come back, we'll be rejoined by Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz. We'll talk a little bit about this week's game against UAB. We'll be right back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. I'm sure you know that clean, affordable propane gas is used in houses across our state. It's used in cooking, water heaters, drying clothes, and heating homes. But did you know that if you ever run out of propane, you need a certified dealer to inspect your system for leaks before it's refilled? That's the law. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
Well, we're back for more of Inside Bulldog Football, and Skip, your team heads to Birmingham this weekend to take on a very good UAB team, a brand-new facility up there that they're playing at for the first time. As you look at this year's Blazers, what stands out to you?
Well, they're a 5-3 football team right now, and I'm really anxious to see this new facility. I know on film and video and the pictures I've seen, it looks like a beautiful setting right in downtown Birmingham. Sits right, it's not on their campus, but it sits just in downtown, and it's a beautiful new facility. I know they built an indoor practice field right there on their campus, and they've made a huge commitment ever since everything happened and the fan base got behind it and really have been supportive of it. And I think Bill does a great job with his football team. We've had some great games with UAB here over the last 8-9 years since I've been here that have come down to a field goal. Last year was probably an instant classic when you look at the couple overtime game. Just a great game. They are a really good football team. When I look at them right now, they're offensively, they're built to run the ball. They have a freshman last year that was an all-freshman player, McBride, who is their leading rusher. He's got about 600-700 yards at this point right now. Really does a nice job. They've gone back and forth between two different quarterbacks. They're both juniors. The quarterback will start against us. Hopkins is the same one that played against us last year. Very good player. They're probably where they're a little bit different. Their two tight ends are their leading receiver and number four. So a lot of what we saw last week, they've got some big targets and some big receivers that are very, very active up front. They run the ball. They're 335, 315, 310, 315, really big up front. And they're aggressive and nasty. I mean, you know what? They're really their left tackle 6'8", 335 pounds. They're the other tackle 6'5", 315. They've got great size. They're big. They're physical. And then the other Shropshire is their other wide receiver, who is a junior. He's from Blinn Junior College. He's from Zachary here in the state of Louisiana. He's their second leading receiver behind their tight end. So very, very talented, very, very talented offensive football team. And you know, they're not flashy. They try and run the ball and then throw it over the top. Really is what they'll throw the ball on third down, but they're going to try and bloody your nose and play a really physical game, and probably a lot like last week, but I think probably a lot more talented than last week's team for sure. And then when I look at them on defense, Tyree Turner, the senior nose tackle, has been with them now for a couple years, probably one of the more explosive players that we'll play against all year. Great nose guard. He's a 6'1", 290, but he's quick. He's elusive. He's physical. He's a disruption. I mean, he is a bull in a china shop up there as a nose guard. Does a really nice job. Alex Wright, their defensive end, is a 6'7", 270-pound defensive end. They can rush the passer. We haven't seen a whole lot of guys like him coming off the edge when you look at him. Linebackers are very physical. Cornerbacks can run. I mean, they're always good on defense. That's Bill's specialty, and they do a really nice job with it. They're a good football team. They got beat right before their open date. They came off. They're on another open date, which I hate. This is our second opponent in a row that has had an open date right before we play them, which I hate because you don't know. Excuse me, you don't know what they're doing behind the curtain there for 2 weeks while you can't see them play. I mean, and so I'm sure we'll get some curveballs with what they do. They're probably a lot more they're doing a whole lot more things. They're a lot more multiple than they've been in years past, where they've been pretty constant, but I think they're moving their guys around a whole lot more. Their punter is one of the top 35 in the country, really talented player, a junior in Greenwell. Matt Quinn, their place kicker, very strong leg, kicked a 52-yarder already this year, very strong leg. And then Starling Thomas, their punt returner, is fourth in the conference. Seems like the last 3 weeks we've played one at UTSA, I believe it was two is Smoke, three was last week, and four this week will be UAB. So we've played some very explosive punt returners here right in a row.
So I've got a question here from Quint. Quint wants to know, how much pressure does the team feel to make a bowl game when you've made seven straight in a row?
A lot. I think that's part of the frustration of being so close and not being able to get it done. And I know we can sit here and talk about that's four games, and you know what, all of a sudden you're sitting here as a 6-2 football team. Boy, you feel really good about things. But I think it's important to them, Quinn. I think that they want to be good. They want to be in a bowl game. They understand we're talking about, I mean, we're 7 years in a row. I mean, when we came here, I remember our bowl record was 2-3-1. You know, it was 2-3-1. And now I believe we're eight, four and one now, is what we are. And they understand the success we've had, the bowl games. That's part of why they came here. That's part of why they chose Louisiana Tech, because of all the success we've had on the field. And I think they feel a lot of pressure, but it's not necessarily outside pressure. It's internal pressure, because they want to be good and they want to keep the program alive and they want to keep the traditions rolling with what they're doing. But It's been a great run, and we're certainly trying to keep that streak alive right now for sure.
Well, the Bulldogs will head to Birmingham at an 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday, which Skip Holtz and myself both love.
Yes, I do. Pre-game meal at 7:30. Get up out of bed, eat pre-game meal. Let's go to work. Let's go play the game.
No doubt about it. We'll be back to wrap things up here with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
This football season, visit Rustin Apothecary for all your prescription needs. Locally owned and operated by Rustin native Heather Jewel Furr, Rustin Apothecary puts their customers first. A friendly staff and a convenient drive-thru keeps picking up your prescription painless. Visit Rustin Apothecary, located at 1680 East Kentucky Avenue in Rustin, or call 318-255-3223. Proud partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Joya Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. We're all used to bad weather in Louisiana, and we know the benefits of clean, portable propane gas during those emergencies. But if your propane tank is ever damaged in a storm, you should have it inspected by a certified propane dealer. And if you ever smell gas, turn the system off at the tank and call your dealer immediately. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustinRecycles.org today.
We're back at Inside Bulldog Football here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. And Skip, we got about 1 minute before I turn it over to you. I want to thank Elton Taylor for his help engineering the broadcast tonight. John Tabor back in the studio. Ashley Springer, our SID for football. Also want to thank Dr. Eric Wood for coming on with us tonight. Skip, Bulldogs have a big one Saturday in Birmingham.
Yes, certainly, and I'd love anybody that can make the trip. We'll need the support. And I know it's been hard to be a Bulldog fan and frustrating losses and being so close and not being able to get over the hump. Everybody loves a winner, but it's great to see so many people here that love the Bulldogs. And so I really appreciate your support each and every week with what you do. Dr. Woods is special. I mean, it's been a difficult month for everybody with the wins on the football field, the conference realignment. But you know what? He's a communicator. He's a great person, and he is a phenomenal AD. Quint, thank you for your call. It's great to see Matt Terry here, the golf coach, doing a great job with the golf team. John Barnett, our DFO, and Malcolm, we appreciate you, the one and only fake punt specialist.
Exactly. Good night, everybody.
Live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, this has been Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz, brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.